Welcome to Happy News Network.
We are here to brighten your week while you take a break from doom scrolling.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
We wanted to brighten social media, so we decided to make a podcast all about happy news.
Join us as we discuss our happy news finds.
Shayna, what is your happy news this season?
Okay, so what feels like a year ago, you told me about bar shampoo and bar conditioner, and I'm obsessed. I really, really like it. And also, I was running low on my bar shampoo, and I happened to be at our favorite place in the world, Trader Joe's, and they sell bar shampoo. It was in their stocking stuffer baskets at the entrance, and I saw it, and I was like, do I take a picture with it and send it to Kristen? Probably not. I'll hold up the whole line, but it was an exciting discovery to know that it's immediately accessible. I don't have to buy it where it's packed in shipping stuff, even if the shipping stuff is recyclable, but it's just one less thing of material use. So
love. That's exciting. Congrats.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for teaching me about it and the types of bar shampoos to buy. Mm-hmm. So what is your happy news of the year so far?
I mean, it's kind of silly, but I feel like we've talked about my fear of haircuts before, but I got a haircut and like,
it looks great.
That was great. Gee, thanks. it still looks really long, but like to me, it's really short because I'm not like braiding my hair for 40 minutes. It's only like 20 minutes. So,
but it, you have it's Rapunzel exciting. Hair. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but not anymore.
Did you cut your hair or did you go out into the world?
We went to an Aveda salon. Aaron, like my boyfriend, bought it for me and like talked to the stylist before and warned them. So I literally walked in and she was like, I've been talking to your boyfriend. I sat down. It was silent for an hour and then I left. It was ideal.
That's amazing. I wish I could consistently keep my hair long like you do because it's so pretty and it's a very consistent look that you have. And I'm like constantly like, maybe I should cut it short. Maybe I should keep it long. And then I just get annoyed and throw it on top of my hair in a bun. And it's
yeah,
never,
that's fair.
Yeah. Too indecisive for it. So what happy news have you found for 2021?
So it's just been crazy, like, right? Like life has just been insane. So yeah. I was kind of looking up just like things that I can do to make myself happy and feel like I'm not trapped in my home. Not that I'm trapped, but you know, like safer at home. So mm-hmm. I looked up, you know, people can't really travel and I'm one that travels all the time. My family likes to travel. So I looked up, you know, a lot of people can't travel right now, including myself, including those I'm close to. So something similar to traveling could be learning a new language. And then I started diving into languages. There are over 7,000 spoken languages in this world? 7,000 languages. That's insane. That's incredible.
I did not know
that.
Yeah, that's like insane. And I'm thinking in my mind, like, well, I can speak two-ish and one of them is sarcasm. So
fingers crossed that counts. But like traveling is so much more than like seeing the sights and trying new foods. So like if you took a foreign language class, even in high school, you know that there are a lot of words for things that we don't have words for in English, if that makes sense. Like I know in Spanish, there are words that mean something deeper than happiness. That's kind of what I was focusing on, like a mm-hmm. specific kind of happiness. And it's just, some of them are more clear than English words. Like example, like we know, we understand the concept of intense yearning after absent people and places, specifically that. We understand the concept of it, but we don't have one word for it. Or at least I can't think of a word for it. But in Romanian, there is a word specifically for that. So it was just really cool for me to kind of dive into language. I haven't learned any new languages, but just the idea behind if you're really yearning to travel and experience new things, maybe pick up a language to let your mind and maybe your emotions travel if you can't physically, and maybe look up different ways to say happy in other languages.
I love that. Have you ever tried to learn other languages?
I really tried to learn Korean when we were going to work in Korea for but I really just learned how to say, please don't die. And thank you. So
I'm guessing that came in really handy backstage. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, I'm going to need to know thank you. And I'm going to need to know, please don't die, because theater is kind of dangerous. So.
I grew up. So I went to Hebrew school like twice a week and then Shabbat services once a week. And it was like, we learned a lot of Hebrew and I immediately forgot whatever we learned. So I grew up going to Hebrew school a couple times a week and Shabbat services. And I still know the alphabet. Like I can very slowly read Hebrew, but I don't know the actual words. So like I could tell you to go do something mean and I wouldn't know it. I could be telling you like the sun is falling or like the sky is falling and I would have no idea. I don't know. Like I think language is, it's also one of those things where if you don't use it a lot, you don't retain it. So learning those key words that really stick to something you have a strong connection to, like even if you just learn two or three key words, that's probably something you'll never forget.
Yeah. So I thought that was fun.
Yeah. I sort of read this really cool article about a girl who is really fluent in chess, which is like its own extreme world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you play chess?
I don't know how to play chess even a little bit. So the Queen's Gambit is the extent of my knowledge, the show, not the chess move. That's yeah. It.
No, I don't even know move names. I just know I don't really, yeah, not a chess person. But there is a 15-year-old high school sophomore who lives in Brooklyn. Her name is Jessica Hyatt, and she is a chess champion. So back in October, she won this prestigious award. It's called the Daniel Feinberg Success in Chess Award, and it comes with a $40,000 college scholarship. And it makes her one of the top 10 Black female chess players in the world. And let's just dive into chess. Chess masters have to reach a ranking of 2,200. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that ranking system is. But that is the number you have to hit. And Jessica, at the age of 15, is already at 1,950. So she's like very close. And she has two coaches who are both national chess masters. So they have surpassed that 2,200 mark. And Jessica's goal is to become the first Black female chess master. And no Black woman has broken that barrier before. So it's huge that not only is she this good at 15, but she's also of color and she wants to use that to help teach other kids how to play chess. And I don't know, it's kind of remarkable. She's a high school sophomore. She plays chess for 5 to 7 hours a day. Like including like that's on top of homework. And she's been doing it online due to the pandemic. So I thought that was really clever. And she's got dreams of going to MIT and again, putting her chess knowledge to use as a chess teacher. And I think once she becomes that chess master, she's going to have a lot of people who want to learn how to play chess from her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Love that. Yeah. I cannot even wrap my brain around how chess works. And I'm actually twice her age. So that's incredible. That is so
incredible. Yeah. I feel like it's one of those, like this, like there are certain types of minds that take really well to chess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like if you learn it younger, I mean, I don't know her life history, but I feel like if you learn it younger, it just becomes something that you know how to do, you know?
Yeah. It's part of her.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. So last season, I talked about Kim Ng, the new GM, the first female GM for the Marlins. And now the Red Sox have hired their first female coach. Her name is Bianca Smith. Don't worry, like Yankees fans, this isn't about the Red Sox as a franchise. It's just about Bianca Smith. So settle down. growing up, her mother took her to a lot of games in person because she got bored watching it on TV, which like same, I would much rather go to a baseball game in person. Bianca grew up to play softball at Dartmouth and took coaching jobs at Case Western in Ohio and the University of Dallas and Carroll University in Wisconsin, which is where she was hired from. She also interned for my Cincinnati Reds and the Texas Rangers. So her new role with the Red Sox is going to be in player development in Fort Myers, Florida. which is where they have spring training. And arguably, for me at least, it's the most exciting part of an MLB mm-hmm. calendar, because that's when you kind of learn about strengths and weaknesses. And she's going to be a pivotal character in that season. So I'm really pumped about, you know, it's been 151 years of MLB, and this is the first Black female coach
in any capacity. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
And she clearly has this ability based on what her resume shows, especially when you work on the collegiate level. It's not just a place for people beginning their careers to go. It's a place for people who understand how to turn someone from skilled into professional. And so she's clearly got that skill set. So it's really neat that they put her in charge of player development, and they didn't just stick her in charge of, like, you train the Bat Boys. Like, like, she's got an actual functioning pivotal part in the Red Sox development. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's and exciting. We love baseball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. I love that baseball has had two big moves, both in the front office and the coaching side. So it's not just front office. It's all like also in the field and the action itself.
Yeah. In like 2 months. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what else develops.
Yeah.
I have no smooth transition into my next article. It's about dueling dinosaurs. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's kind of like Jurassic Park, but it's like much more historically accurate. So we're going to go like 67 million years back to the Cretaceous period. And basically, like, paleontologists discovered the dinosaur version of WWE is like basically what happened. So the headline of the article was, "Dueling T-Rex and Triceratops Are Frozen in Time, Locked in Battle." That was the headline of the article, and I was like, done. I'm going to talk about this for 7 hours. So it's a rarity to find complete sets of fossils, let alone something like this complete in painting a fossil picture of dinosaur life. So this is a landmark dinosaur discovery. It was made at the Hell Creek Formation in Montana, and I mean, Montana is like a treasure trove of dinosaur remains. So it looks like the dinosaurs were locked in a fight to the death, because their remains appear to have been buried quickly, and they were found slightly overlapping, and they show signs of damage. So the T-Rex appears to be a juvenile, and it's so cool. They were able to encase the fossils in plaster upon extraction so they could preserve them and study them more. And it's so cool. This, I cannot explain how cool this is. Like, I'm jumping in my seat. Both skeletons are in proper order. So that means they don't have to try and piece together the skeletons. They're basically complete sets in order. Usually what happens is paleontologists get complete sets that have been fragmented, like especially if scavengers may have been involved, and they have to guess what bones go together and do it themselves that way, but they don't have to do that here. This is the first 100% complete T-Rex ever recorded. You've heard of Sue, the famous T-Rex Sue? So she was 90% complete. She was only 90%, and she was the most complete they'd ever found. So, and they found her in South Dakota. So that whole Northwestern American, like Montana, the Dakotas, Wyoming, they are an actual gold mine for paleontologists. For whatever reason, that area was like rich with T-Rex and other dinosaurs. Okay. So the Triceratops, let's talk about that Triceratops. Analysis showed skin impressions, T-Rex teeth embedded in the spine, which is why they think it was a battle to the death, and no visible arms. So that means the arms are either locked in the stone and they haven't unearthed them yet in the recovery process, or they were scavenged before burial. So that's coming soon to a paleontologist discovery near you. They just don't know yet. And they're also hoping to see if the stomach contents were preserved to see what the final meal was. Like, that's how well preserved two dinosaurs were. Yeah. And the T-Rex analysis shows most of the teeth were broken, including the teeth that were embedded in the Triceratops. So there's a broken finger, a cracked skull. Some skin impression showed its foot was remarkably similar to an emu. So think like sharp crescent talons were what they described in the article. And they've discovered a lot already. still to be answered. They want to see if there are preserved molecules in the skin impressions showing evidence of things like feathers. Were they really locked in a battle to the death? What will the preserved skin and soft tissue tell us? And it's so cool. This is a 15-year project in the making. This Triceratops fossil started poking through due to erosion in 2006. So this is, what, 15 years later. And next year, they're going to be on display at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. So come, get, like, you can go see them in a year. And Lord willing, we'll be able to travel in a year. So
I was going to say, I better be able to travel because I will drive without stopping if that's what it takes to get there and see this.
I know. I just threw a lot of dinosaur knowledge. But I, like, you can't omit any of those details because they're all so fascinating.
No, my jaw has been on the ground for the entire time that you've been speaking. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I know.
Like, here in Colorado and, like, in the Denver area, like, Red Rocks is close. There are a ton of dinosaur things that were found here years ago. And, like, occasionally we'll find something and they're like, eh, we found this bone while we were building this. But, you know, whatever. But, oh, my God.
A complete T-Rex.
That's insane.
Yeah. And it was a juvenile. I love that they can discover that it was – they can already tell just by size alone that it was juvenile.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Oh my gosh. Wow. I hope that stomach is intact. Like, oh my gosh. How flippy cool. Okay. Okay. I'm going to attempt to settle down, but my last thing that I want to talk about today is what I think. This is me, totally opinion. None of this is really research based. My home office essentials for 2021, because office supplies are something I am very passionate about. And wow. Okay. We're going to end this on a high note for Kristen.
Real excited about this.
Okay. So this actually Brandon brought up using a wireless mouse a couple weeks ago for nonsense. And I found mine and I highly recommend a wireless mouse because mine is like old and it takes a AA battery, but there are some out there that charge via USB. So you don't even need to worry about a battery. Amazing. Technological advances. And like just the amount of time that I spend on my laptop working, having my wireless mouse makes me feel a little bit more like I'm in my cubicle with my desktop and stuff. So anyway, it just makes me feel more like my work is actually work. Yeah. Also a laser printer. I personally have an HP OfficeJet wireless 4-in-1, but just being able to print something quickly is a really great comfort for me. Like having we talk about all the time, I'm 87 years old, but like I need to have the tangible paper in my hand. So just having a printer is helpful. And if it's wireless, I can print from my cell phone. So that's nice too. Also with all really the Zooming, cool. Right? I love it. Yeah. I'll be like downstairs on the couch and see something cool. And I'll be like, I should talk about that on HNN. Let me just print a hard copy of that.
That's super clever.
And I print single-sided, so I use the back that's blank to take notes. Thank you. and with like all the Zoom meetings and other kind of meetings that we have to do digitally, a USB mic is super helpful. Like Apple has great microphones, but if you're constantly on Zoom chats like we are, we both have Blue Yetis, but for under $100, you can buy like a Shure MV5. And that's just, you know, maybe a nice kindness for your coworker. So it's not,
what did you say? Yeah. You got muffled. Yeah. Oh, those are great so far.
And then just like free stuff that at least is helping me personally, like getting dressed. Like I know it was fun to like, I've been wearing the same pajamas since Tuesday and here it is Sunday. Like that's actually disgusting. But like the key for me is like shoes, and it's not even like shoes I wear outside. I just have slippers that aren't slide-ons. They like have a back and they have a hard sole. So it feels more shoes. And like once I put them on, I already feel more productive. And then also I have to schedule myself breaks or else I get burnt out immediately. Potty breaks, lunch breaks, water breaks, maybe an afternoon tea time and biscuits if we so desire. Anyway, it makes me not dread going to my home office because I hop in here and I'm like, lunch is coming.
I love that. I think getting dressed is a huge part of it. If you're not dressed for a certain thing, it's sometimes it's hard to get into the mindset or the capacity of it. And I think, like, I remember when we had debates in one of our history classes, our teacher was like, you have to be in business attire because you won't feel like you're formally ready to debate if you're not in that. And it was true.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I hated it because I had to wear it the rest of the day. But yeah.
Yeah.
If my job is couch potato, I'm going to stay in my pajamas all day. Sorry, Kristen.
Right. Agreed.
No, I have found that even if it's just changing my shirt in the morning, like, it makes me feel like I'm no longer just allowed to be a slug all day. Even if I don't do anything productive and I just sit at my desk being unproductive, at least I'm not in my bed doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
good anyway, on you.
That's what's Thank helping me. So good luck. Yeah.
Thank you. Some of my favorite things include football, as we've well established.
Love.
And you and I've talked about Alex Smith with his amazing story. I mean, comeback player of the decade, and it's a very young decade. So if you don't know who Alex Smith is, he is a longtime quarterback of the NFL, and he plays currently for the Washington football team, and he returned to the NFL just under 2 years after he suffered a really grisly leg and foot injury in November 2018, and it was not only reminiscent of the famous Joe Theismann injury, it happened on the same date of the calendar year as the Joe Theismann injury, just like X decades later. So people went nuts on conspiracy theories. It was hilarious. And also, like, it's maybe we just don't play football on that day. dear Mr. Goodell. So Alex Smith underwent 17 surgeries in 11 months. And in his recovery, he suffered an infection when they put a rod into his leg, and that they almost had to amputate the leg as part of his recovery. So the fact that he's walking again is miraculous, let alone playing professional football. Like, that's just insane to me. And he completed his remarkable recovery process, and he helped lead the Washington football team to their NFC East divisional title. And even if he wasn't playing, he's a huge sideline presence. And I remember watching that first snap back. I mean, everyone, including the broadcasters, just held their breath. And so to commemorate this whole journey, his wife Liz got his leg stabilizer brace reshaped into the Lombardi Trophy for his Christmas gift, which is so cute. And if you don't know football, the Lombardi Trophy is the thing you win after the Super Bowl, which is kind of like football's Tony Award. So she basically had this giant metal leg brace that he wore for however many months and just got it remade to look like the Lombardi Trophy. And it's so cool. Thomas Patsis, he does all kinds of cool welding and metal work, and he called it a symbol of strength and determination. And it was neat to see his behind the scenes posting of his making it process. And you can see them on Instagram at Cold Heart Art. It's Cold H-A-R-T Art. And it looks really cool. It looks kind of like Kinects, but more medical supply-y. So I had to end on that kind of really inspiring note.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really clever Christmas gift. Wow. Nailed it.
Yeah. He'll never not look at that and smile.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to?
We just currently, at the moment of recording, Denver and most of Colorado has gone from level red to level orange. So we can now, like, travel a little bit kind of and eat at restaurants now. So next week, Aaron and I are going down to Durango, Colorado, and we're going to go to Mesa Verde National Park, because on my bucket list for 2021, I want to go to 2 national parks, and there are 4 in the state of Colorado. So we're going to go to 1 next week. So I'm excited about that.
That's exciting. I think that's a really good travel bucket list because it's doable during a pandemic. However, this year pans out, you can still do things that are close to home.
Yeah. And we can't go in the dwellings, but we can still see them from far away. And I think that's cooler. So yeah, I'm excited about that. What are you looking forward to?
Yeah. At this moment of recording, we are in the midst of a very busy interview week with our Minisode guests. And I'm stoked about them. We've got some really cool people that we've gotten to reach out to who have been topics of discussion in our articles, people we've met who have really inspiring projects in their lives. And it was a lot of work prepping everything, but at the same time, it feels really rewarding when we do those interviews and the joy it brings to meet someone else and hear their story. It feels, I don't know, I think we're also really craving social connection during this pandemic. At least I am. Like, I miss not being able to bump into my friends at a coffee shop or something or on the subway. And so to bump into someone on Zoom, even though we scheduled it, still feels really nice.
Love. Also, a huge thanks goes out to our listeners who donated to the holiday fundraiser campaign. Richard Sutter, Melissa Elworth, Jane Putterbaugh, Shelley Jackson, Sherry Sutter,
Judy Baker, Jane McGill, Lori Bronstein, and all those who wished to remain anonymous, we are truly grateful and can't wait to share season 2 with you.
We love all forms of happy news and happenings.
Be sure to send us your own day-to-day happy news. Cute pet stories, kids saying the darndest things, whatever you're up to, we love it all.
Email us at hnnpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on social media at hnnpodcast for happy news throughout the week.
And be sure to subscribe to us through Patreon, where you'll get exclusive content and more.
Until next time, I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
Have a happy week.